62, starting in verse number 5, I'm going to read down through verse number 8. Psalm 62, 5 through 8. David said, "My soul, wait thou only upon God." Would you say that with me? "My soul, wait thou only upon God." Why? "For my expectation is from Him." Say it with me. "For my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." My expectation is from Him. I want to preach to you today from the subject, the dimension of expectation. The dimension of expectation. Let's lift our hands together. Come on, somebody shout. Somebody magnify God. Somebody get excited that God is my refuge. My expectation is from Him. God bless you, and you may be seated. I literally have been on a lifelong campaign, preaching faith, building faith, challenging faith, and exercising faith in God. Some 23 years ago, I first preached a little message I entitled "The Seven Levels of Faith." I have probably preached that 200 times or more across our fellowship. I have studied faith in the Scripture, and I am a preacher that believes that we can get things done through faith in God that we can't get done any other way. There are several different levels, as you know, in the Scripture concerning or related to the faith that you and I can possess. In the book of Mark, Jesus asked His disciples, "How is it that you have no faith?" In another place, He accused them and said, "O ye of little faith." In the book of Romans, it talks about the measure of faith that's given unto every man. And then in Corinthians, it talks about the gift of faith, that special unction or anointing that comes directly from God in the midst of a tumultuous situation. And then in Romans 4, the Bible talks about Abraham, who the Scripture said was strong in faith. Somebody said strong in faith. I've got a feeling I'm in the midst of a group of people today who are strong in their faith in God. I feel faith in this house. I felt faith when I walked in here last night. I know God is in this place, and I know that He's come to do something very miraculous among us. That happens because of our faith. You are God's elect. You are God's special forces. You are God's anointed. You are men and women that love God and live for God and have preached the things of God and have faith in an almighty God. Don't you believe for a moment that God is far from us? Don't you believe for a moment that God doesn't hear us? Don't you believe for a moment that God doesn't want to work for us? God is here, and God wants to do something special among us. You believe that? Clap your hands and holler, yes! Abraham was strong in faith. The Bible talks about a centurion soldier who had great faith. And then Stephen, who the Bible said was full of faith. I have preached those seven levels for 23 years. I have studied faith in the Scripture. But after preaching that message for so long, the Lord has recently revealed to me that there is yet another dimension of faith that you and I as individuals and collectively as a church, we can move into. And that is the dimension of expectation, the dimension of believing, the dimension of assuming, the dimension of knowing that God is able, no matter the circumstance, no matter the trial, no matter the test, no matter the sickness, no matter the problem. In this dimension of expectation, we anticipate the very handiwork of God. No matter what we're up against, in the dimension of expectation, we are convinced that God is in charge. In the dimension of expectation, we know that no matter what happens, God is going to have the final say. In the dimension of expectation, there is no question in our mind. The battle belongs to God. The dimension of expectation, we know that God will. We may not know how, we may not know where, we may not know who He's going to use, but we know God will come through right on time. In this dimension, we expect a sovereign move of God in our midst. The dimension of expectation is nowhere better expressed than in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, when the Apostle Paul said, And we know that all things work together to good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Somebody said, we know. Where's my friend Merle at in here? Where you at, Merle? I love him like my flesh and blood brother. And we all got the news last year that Merle had prostate cancer. And it absolutely rocked my life. And then some 2 or 3 weeks later, the news that it was kidney cancer and a part of a kidney would have to be removed. And then I thought, my God, what are we going to do? And then the news came that there were 2 or 3 swollen lymph nodes. And we thought, well, it's got out of the kidney into his lymph system. And that means the end of Uncle Merle. It was in all of that I called him on the phone. And I'm thinking to myself, I want to encourage my buddy. I want to strengthen him. I want to make him feel better. I want him to know I'm praying for him every day and try to lift him up a little bit. And as I was making my way through telling him how much I love him and what I thought God could do and all of this that people are praying for you, all of a sudden Merle kind of barrels out to me and he said, Jack, God's got the final say in my life. The doctor don't have the final say. MD Anderson don't have the final say. Cancer don't have the final say. When you live in the dimension of expectation, you know that no matter what it is, God has the final say. You see, my friend, expectation goes beyond hoping for a good outcome. Expectation is bigger than desire. Expectation is more than wishful thinking. It's more than pleading. It's more than want. It's more than longing. Expectation is anticipation. Expectation is assuming. Expectation is belief. Expectation is certainty. Expectation is confidence. Expectation is knowing. Expectation is looking forward to what God's going to do. Expectation is trust in God. No wonder David said, my expectation is from Him. Paul said, preaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. I do it with all confidence. In the Amplified Version, the book of Galatians, Paul tells the church of Galatia, he said, through the Holy Spirit's help, by faith, we anticipate and we wait for the blessing of God. To the church of Thessalonica, Paul wrote again in the Amplified Version, he said, our preaching was not with great conviction, but with absolute certainty. John 3:33 says, God is true in the Amplified Version, that man has definitely certified, acknowledged, declared once and for all, and is himself assured that it is the divine truth, that God cannot lie. Everybody said assured. Everybody said I know. Say certainty. I want to tell you what I believe. I believe that God is about to finish a work in here in just a couple of minutes that He began before you and I ever got to town. This church has been plugged in to your needs and my needs for some days now. They've been fasting and praying. They've anticipated us coming to town. And they've been ready to minister to us. And the pastor, the senior pastor, and pastor's mother have each stood in this pulpit already and opened their hearts up to us, preaching that God can and God will heal us. It's time for this conference to move into the dimension of expectation. It's time to quit talking about it and realize that God is going to do it. You can be assured of it. Prophecy has already come forth that God is moving His church into a new dimension. And I believe that God is moving pastors and pastors' wives and ministers and key leaders this week into the dimension of expectation. I applaud you, United Pentecostal Church pastor, who's trying to do everything you can to grow your church. I applaud you for attending seminars, for reading every book that makes you a better leader. I promise you that I tip my hat to you if you're trying to apply proven growth principles to the place where you minister. Do all of it. Do everything you can do to make yourself and your church more efficient, to make your leadership more effective. But can I tell you that when we've done all we can do, when we've made every effort in our human ability, there is a dimension in God that we've got to move into that is the miraculous and the supernatural. There are some things that only God can do. Hello? Brother Anthony Mangan mentioned a sovereign move of God and praying for a sovereign move of God in our services. When he did, Elder G.A. Mangan turned around and he looked at me and he said, I pray every day for a sovereign move of God. He said, every day of my life, I tell God that there's things that has to happen today that nobody or no thing can do but Him. We've got to live in that dimension where we expect God to do things we can't do. We've got to move into that dimension where we say, God, this is bigger than me. I need you to take over. Something happens to a church that moves into the dimension of expectation. Brother Anthony talking about some of our churches suffering. I'm pastoring a revival church right now, and I thank God for it. But in the midst of the greatest personal revival I've ever been a part of in my life, in the midst of the greatest local church revival that I've ever seen, we've got backsliders, we've got kids that are getting pregnant, we got young people that are on drugs, we got kids that are messing up their lives, and saints that are turning their back on God, and all kind of sickness, and yes, death, and such situations with the economy. It's all there. But I'm telling telling you, my friend, in the midst of all of that, if you can hold your faith in God, don't give up, get up. Don't allow the devil to slap you down and keep you down. Get back up and declare, I expect God to do something great for me. A little lady in our church by the name of Jovita. Jovita's a precious little thing. She runs the aisles, dance. She loves God with all of her heart, talks in tongues, prays and worships. And she come up to me and said, Pastor, the doctors told me I had cancer. And she said, it's a very serious cancer. And she said, I just wanted you to know that I'm going on vacation. And I said, pardon me, you just told me that you got cancer, but you're leaving tomorrow for vacation. That little old lady, brand new convert in the church, still got hair chopped off, and she don't know all there is to know about it, but a brand spanking new convert. She looked at me and said, oh yeah. She said, I got cancer. But she said, what you don't know is that when I came to the church and was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, they told me I had colon cancer then, and God healed me. She had never told me that. She said, God healed me of the colon cancer. And she said, if God can heal me once, God can heal me twice. I'm going to Florida for vacation. That little woman with the issue of blood that had spent all of her money on the doctors and made her way to where Jesus was and began to press through the crowd. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. And the dimension of expectation. We go to church expecting a sovereign move of God. We go to church anticipating salvation and healing and deliverance and miracles and power and strength and encouragement. It's going to happen. We know that something significant is going to happen every time we go to the house of God. In the dimension of expectation. I was standing, this underlined this particular thing God was trying to teach me. It underlined it in my life when I was in Thailand. We gave an altar call, and many of you that are here have been to Thailand with us. We gave an altar call for those that wanted to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and there we put chairs out for them to sit on, and we know exactly how many people are there to pray because they count every chair and count the people. And so one of the young ministers there had counted, and he comes up to the edge of the platform, and he said, 50 are praying for the Holy Ghost. There's 50 chairs here. And so I turned to Brother Chiyun, the general superintendent. I said, Brother Chiyun, there's 50 chairs out here, and there's 50 people that are praying for the Holy Ghost. He carries a ledger around with him with his Bible that he keeps records in. It's about all the records the whole church has for the whole nation. It's in that ledger. And so he opens the ledger up and he writes down 50 received the Holy Ghost. We haven't prayed for one person yet. We haven't given an instruction. Nobody's praying. He just writes 50 received the Holy Ghost. I looked at him and I said, Brother Chiyun, we haven't prayed yet. I said, how do you know 50's going to get it? He said in his broken English, he said, 50 pray, 50 get it. Expectation isn't dependent on me. Expectation in God isn't dependent on how I feel. It's knowing that God can do anything and that God is ready and willing to move for us. Somebody shout hallelujah. Brother Anthony prophesied to us last night that 2007 will be a year of great harvest. That it will be a year where people will be swept into the kingdom of God. Unsaved husbands and wives and children and neighbors and friends and fellow workers. It's going to happen this year. And I've come to tell you something tonight. I'm not hoping that it's going to happen. I don't have my fingers crossed thinking maybe if I'm lucky it's going to happen. I haven't made any wishes on a star. I've come to tell you I expect it. I expect God to move. I expect the greatest year of harvest that the United Pentecostal Church and Oneness Apostolics have ever known. You hear me? I expect backsliders to be restored. I expect miracles and healings to take place. I had pneumonia and was in bed from Christmas Day till the first week of January. But I made myself go to church on Sunday. And I got up in the pulpit and I said to the church, I can't preach to you, but I've come to tell you something. God spoke back to me in the middle of December. God spoke to me and said, 2007 is going to be the greatest year of harvest we ever had. And I told that church, I said, put it on the tape. Write it down in the front of your Bible and put today's date on it and my name beside it. And if it's not true, you come tell me next year. But I got news for you, honey. It's true. It's going to happen. This is going to be a year to remember. Brother Arnold, one of the most important revelations that God has given to me about expectation is that the move of God is not dependent upon how I feel. The move of God is not dependent upon how good I do. I was about 25 years old preaching with Brother Billy Cole in Thailand. We got invited to go preach to a bunch of denominational ministers. I think they were Presbyterian, if I remember the story right. And we preached to them. I preached Acts 2:38. He did the translating. We had a great service. And there was 50 or 60, if I remember right, that were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And almost every one of them ministers. We got in the van heading home. And I made the mistake. Some of y'all don't know my Uncle Bill. I made the mistake of saying to him, Uncle Bill, I'm sorry. I really did a bad job preaching today. He turned to me. He was in the front seat of the van. I was in the back. Had a little Thai driver driving us around. He turned around in that seat and he said, I rebuke the spirit of pride that's in you. I said, hold on. I just told you I'm sorry. I did a bad job. He said, anybody that'll take the fault when it goes wrong is going to take the credit when it goes good. And he said, what you need to understand, boy, is it don't matter what you do or what you say or what you think you are. God promised us revival. God promised to pour out His Spirit. And every time we walk into the pulpit, we need to anticipate God doing what He said He would do. A genuine move of the Holy Ghost is not dependent on whether I have a good day or a bad day. It's not dependent on the circumstances that I'm going through right now. It's not dependent on whether I can muster up a little bit of faith and say it just right. It's dependent on Him. And honey, He don't fail. You see, when God's people come together in one mind and in one accord, expecting a move of God, and begin to lift Him up and magnify His name. It's this simple. He shows up. Don't make it any more complicated than that when you get home this Sunday. Say, I don't have Brother Mangan's choir. I don't have Brother Mangan's musicians. I don't have this beautiful facility. It's just me and Mama running the service. It's just me and her and a few kids and a couple old sinner adults having church. I got news for you, honey. That book said where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm going to be in the midst of them. You can expect Him to show up. It's not something you got to hope for. It's not even something you got to pray about. You can expect it to happen. I sit on the platform at our church in service now. And I catch myself over there looking through the audience. I said, I don't recognize him and I don't recognize her. And, oh, that family's got another family with them tonight. And, oh, there's a person come in on crutches. And over there, that guy, man, he looks like an old drug addict. And I sit there with a little grin on my face. And I'm just thinking, yeah, he's going to get it. She's going to get it. Yeah, God's going to turn their life around. Before they leave here today, they're going to get the Holy Ghost. Because there's an expectancy turning inside of me. God's never failed me. God's never let me down. Every time we go to the house of God, we have a move of God. Every time we go to church,
we have good church. And I'm here to tell you today that if you can move your church into that dimension of expectancy, into that dimension that I believe God's going to show up and God's going to do something great, there's going to be things begin to unfold that'll blow your mind. We are having great revival. I took a church that is one of the greatest apostolic churches on the East Coast, a foundation under it of doctrine and standards and worship. The church has been known for its worship. It is exuberant, zealous worship over the years. They averaged 265 in attendance the 3 months before I got there. It was a great church in every way. But God began to give us unprecedented revival. I'm happy to tell you today that we have baptized 350 in water in the name of Jesus, and God has filled 740 people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've come to tell somebody today that if you'll step into the dimension of expectation, if you'll step into that dimension of assuming God's going to do it, of believing that God's going to show up. One of the things we do, I didn't plan it, I wish I could take credit for it, but we got a lot of ministers in the church, and we had a lot of sickness going on. And on Sunday morning, about a year and a month ago, I got up and I said, there's so many here that have needs. If you need prayer, be here tonight at 6 o'clock. All of our ministers will be standing across the front of the altar area, and one of them will minister with you, and they won't be in a hurry. And that whole 30 minutes before church, we'll pray for you. We had a church full of people at 6 o'clock. It went so good, and God filled one brand new center with the Holy Ghost between 6 and 6:30 before we ever went out into church. It went so good that I said, well, we'll do it again next week. And now a year and a month later, we're still having pre-service prayer at 6 o'clock every Sunday night. Sometimes at 7 o'clock or 7:15 before we get to start the formal service, because the Spirit of God breaks out while we're praying for needs in such a powerful way that we can't even start church on time. I can't tell you how many have been filled with the Holy Ghost before we ever start service. I can't tell you how many's already been baptized before we ever start service. How many people are healed. We got people that are coming for that 30 minutes of prayer that don't even stay for church. We've had pastors of other churches that come for prayer and then leave and go to their church after they've been prayed for at our church. I got news for you, honey. When there is an excitement and an expectation that gets a hold of your people, when it gets down in their heart that God is working for us and God's going to do something great among us, there's no stopping that kind of church. Just this past week, a pastor of a Brother Anthony Mangan said it last night, a blank Pentecostal church called me on the phone. His last name is Daly. He called me. He said, I heard your Christmas program message on the internet. And in that Christmas program message, I did an awful lot of talking about who Jesus was and how that He was the mighty God in Christ. And he said, I heard your message, your Christmas message, and I need to talk to you. I said, I'd be glad to talk to you. He said, well, I pastor such and such a church here in town. But he said, God's been dealing with me about being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I need to meet with you, and I need to talk to you about baptizing me. That no more than happened. I can't remember the boy's name, but the pastor of the Pentecostal Holiness Church walked in on Sunday night. He should have been in his own church service on Sunday night, but he was in ours. And I sent one of the young men back. I said, go back and ask him how he's doing and what's going on. And they come back to the platform and said, he said, tell you God gave him a revelation of the mighty God in Christ and that he wants to be baptized in Jesus' name. Am I surprised? No way. I walked into a church one night with about 120 people. Again, most of them leaders. Billy Cole was preaching. He got done preaching, gave an altar call, and nearly every human in that church, Baptist or something, some other denomination church, nearly every human in that church received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And again, I made the mistake, Brother Morgan. We get in the van, we're heading home. And I said to him, I said, can you believe what God did tonight? He turned around to me and like only my Uncle Bill could. You ever got a Billy Cole look? He turned around and looked at me and said, I would have been absolutely astounded if God wouldn't have done that. You know what he was trying to say? He said, I went there expecting a move of God. I went there expecting God to show up. I went there expecting God to pour out His Spirit. I went there expecting that God was going to do something supernatural. Stay standing. I've been preaching long enough. I got more notes, but I've been preaching long enough. I want you to turn to somebody right now. There's so much faith in this place. I'm telling you, I can reach out and grab a hold of it. I want you to turn around and slap your hand on their head like you believe God's fixing to do something supernatural.